Kentucky voted against Abraham Lincoln in the 1864 presidential election, and the state suffered from a particularly vicious form of guerrilla warfare during the conflict. A lot of really nasty bushwhacking and that kind of activity was carried out in the state during the war. Ironically, after the war, Kentucky became really the most Confederate state. It hadn't been a Confederate state during the war officially, but it seemed that everybody in Kentucky was pro-Confederate after the war. That was amusing to many people in states that had actually joined the Confederacy. So Kentucky, Lincoln and Davis's home state, is in the Union column by the fall of 1861. Let's move to Missouri. Missouri had had a head start on the Civil War, really, because it had been embroiled ever since the mid-1850s in that nasty border war along the Kansas-Missouri border, when the fights had taken place over whether Kansas would be free territory or slave territory. Missouri had been involved in that for many years by the time the war came. It'd been used to that sort of low-level violence on the border. In 1861, the governor of Missouri was a man named Claiborne Jackson, a pro-Southern veteran of the border fighting of the 1850s, and a man who did everything he could to take Missouri into the Confederacy. Jackson worked very hard to make Missouri a Confederate state. He persuaded the legislature to call a secession convention, but he was unhappy when most of the men elected to the convention were strong Unionists. Missouri Unionists and secessionists organized and armed themselves in April and sort of eyed each other warily in the state. In early May, violence broke out. On May the 10th, when a captain named Nathaniel Lyon, a firebrand really, sort of the northern equivalent of a fire eater in the south, Nathaniel Lyon, a very aggressive anti-Southern man, led Unionist troops against pro-Southern militiamen at Camp Jackson near St. Louis and compelled them to surrender. As the prisoners were being marched through the city, a pro-Southern mob gathered, harassed the column, shots were exchanged, and by the end of the day, more than 25 people had been killed. A very ugly incident in St. Louis. Well, Lyon's actions sent many conditional Unionists over to the Confederacy. People who'd sort of been on the fence didn't like what Lyon had done, and they decided perhaps we'd better support the Confederacy. One of these was a man named Sterling Price, a former governor of the state, who was given command of pro-Southern troops in Missouri. Lyon, meanwhile, was made a brigadier general. He was a hero to many strong Unionists in Missouri and to many people in the North who thought that he had treated these rebel militiamen as they should have been treated in St. Louis. He's a brigadier general put in charge of about 10,000 troops. And in June, Lyon took this force, not a well-trained force. This is a green army, just as green as the armies had been at First Manassas. But he pushed into the southwest corner of the state. Meanwhile, the Unionist State Convention, which had adjourned in March without voting in favor of secession, reconvened to function as the state legislature in Missouri. So you have a very strong Unionist group functioning as the state legislature. It declared the governorship vacant. Claiborne Jackson was wildly out of step with what this legislature wanted. Declared the governorship vacant and named a Unionist governor. Well, military events came to a head in Missouri on August 10th in the Battle of Wilson's Creek. It's the second big battle of the Civil War. It takes place in southwest Missouri when Nathaniel Lyon and about 6,000 men attack Sterling Price, who commanded a motley force about twice that large. Lyon boldly divided his army, his little, if you can call it an army, he divided his 6,000-man force and tried to hit the Southerners in the front and rear simultaneously. Very nice idea if you can pull it off. He achieved some early success, but he was eventually driven back. And he lost his life in the process. He became a great martyr to the Union cause at the Battle of Wilson's Creek. Each side suffered more than 1,200 casualties at Wilson's Creek. And Sterling Price followed up the victory by marching north to the Missouri River. John C. Fremont enters the picture for us here, the Republican nominee for the presidency in 1856, and the famous pathfinder from the antebellum years who had explored so much of the Western territory. very well connected in Missouri. John C. Fremont had been sent to Missouri in late July to take overall command of the federal troops